Hello and welcome to the inaugural episode of 300, the RC Racing Podcast, with me, your host, Pete Lyons, and my long-suffering co-host, Alexander Hayward. So say hello, Alexander.
Pete, mate, hello, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right, thanks, mate, and you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Good, it's good to have you on the show, the first show, and one that not inconsiderable amount of people have been waiting for, I believe.
It's been a long time coming, but we are here.
It has. It takes time to get these things together and get things just how I want them, get them arranged. But here we are, and here we are to talk about anything and everything, really. Nonsense, as well as obviously stuff to do with RC car racing in the UK and in other countries, with our usual jokey style. So, I mean, I think for people who don't know us, which might be some of people outside of the UK, given the Lyons RC Facebook page and obviously people in the UK as well. So, I mean, I'll just give a quick introduction to myself. My name's Pete Lyons. I'm a 1/10 electric racer. I used to race many, many years ago in the mid-80s until the early 90s. I've always been 1/10 electric. I always used to race Schumacher cars made a return to RC in probably about 5 years ago now or so, and was amazed at how much has stayed the same, yet how much had changed. You know, there was no more worrying about whether your SCE cells were going to last. Based in Cambridgeshire, but I race all over the UK, and I'm very proud to say that I've also raced abroad in Europe at EFRA Euros events with varying levels of success, and race 1/10 electric, as I say, with my son Abe. That is probably known by more people than me, to be fair. I think that's a fair thing to say, Alexander. He talks to everybody.
Absolutely, he's a very popular young man.
He is. I'm very proud to say that. And we race in the Midwest, BRCA region, but get all over, really, with the Nationals and everything. And I do enjoy getting around. I never wanted to come back to RC to just sit in one place. So that's why we go all over the UK racing at as many places as we can, really. So that's me. Currently sponsored by PR Racing, Maclan Electronics, SRT Servos UK, New Concept Oils and Greases, and also Tudor Heart Racing for various aftermarket parts. And what about yourself, Alexander? Please tell us who you are.
Well, I'm very much like yourself, Pete. I race 1/10 off-road in the Midwest. I started racing around about 97, 98, raced until around about 2006. When I had a 5 or 6 year break to go to university and came back into it late 2011. Always raced 1/10 electric, had various cars from various manufacturers, currently sponsored by PR Racing, Inside Line Models, Maclan Electronics and SRT Servos. But I've tried a number of cars in the past. Race, like yourself, with Midwest regionals nationally. I've done a couple of Euros over the last 2 years.
Yes.
Looking to do more European events, hopefully next year. I suppose addicted to racing is what you could say.
Yeah. So your only time away from racing is when you made the mistake of going to university. So yes. Then you could realize that was all a waste of time. And then you came back to racing where it's actually really more important. I get that. And your Midwest for your sins as well, obviously. I think you may have mentioned that. And a recent addition, it must be said, to the PR Racing team, having previously obviously been Drive TLR.
Hashtag Drive TLR, Important part, Pete.
This is true. Hashtag Drive TLR. But honestly, guys listening, this isn't going to be the PR roadshow by no means. Yes, we both race for the same team at the time at this current time, but we're going to talk about anything and everything. We have a lot of love for other manufacturers. Yokomo, Schumacher, X-Ray, Associated, they're all got great cars, great points. And I think that's one of the great things about the scene at the moment is that there is such a variation out there. It's not just like one car dominating everything, although I'm sure everyone would say, oh, you know, our car's doing really well, this car's doing really well. I think it's really good that there's so many cars doing well. I want to see everybody do well, you know.
I think it's, I'm not sure what it was like when you finished racing last, Pete, back in the 90s, but certainly when I finished, it was one car dominated off the off-road scene. It was the V4. There was a few lossy triple X's still racing, but it was just the V4 really that was the competitive car. And it's great now to see, coming back into it, how many manufacturers of cars there are, new cars coming out all the time. And the scene really seems to have grown. And obviously the kind of the push for new cars kind of helps that as well.
Absolutely. I mean, back in my day, 85 to 92, it was Schumacher's XLS and the Pro Cat was the car, certainly for me. I had a few friends who had like the YZ10. I have a lot of love for that car, but I never owned one. If they ever did a re-re, I'd probably be interested in buying one, to be honest.
Yeah.
I had my best results with Schumacher cars. I tried other cars, and I always went back to the Schumacher cars. They were what I got all my success with.
Yeah,
I was an F2 back in 92, had loads of those little trophies that you get that you don't seem to be around anymore.
Yeah. What's
from
what's
your local
happened to
fishing
trophies?
Tackle shop?
Yeah,
no idea.
What's happened to trophies? Every regional you'd get, like every final top three would have a trophy. The winner of the meeting will obviously get like a winner's trophy and you get a TQ trophy. But every regional, every year, would have a top three in each final trophy.
Yeah, I mean, Tony Bishop does pretty well for the Midwest with trophies come the end of the season. But there were more trophies in sort of like regular meetings, I think.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's what we're saying. They, I think even club meetings, I used to go to club meetings and get trophies. But I guess you do get too many, and people used to have boxes and boxes full of trophies. And
I must admit,
what do you do with them?
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, without being too immodest, I did have loads, loads. You know, and to be fair, even now, my life isn't complete without returning from a weekend with a small piece of glittering plastic, and with a bit of green velvet
plastic
on the bottom. Yeah, so, you know, basically I'm shouting at Abe all the way home if I don't get one.
Yeah, don't forget the marble base.
The plaques are more the de rigueur now. And I'm actually looking at one right now, which is my Silverstone Winter Series Round 1 D Final winner. Because I made
D-final domination.
I'd messed up, really, as I put in the Facebook post, because I kept making mistakes.
Yeah,
which I don't normally do indoors, funnily enough, but it was a tricky track and I got a plaque. I thought it was really nice of them. I got some at Junction 16 last year. Abe did too. I know what you mean. What happened to trophies? I like it when the kids get them, let's be honest. I'm not really worried for myself, but I think it's great when the kids get them because I think they really, really enjoy it. I think that's a good thing. And I'd maybe like to see a bit more of that for the younger racers because it really gives them something that they get excited about.
Yeah, absolutely.
I personally like that. So, I mean, I can't remember how we actually got onto that, Tack.
No.
I think another good question would be, why this podcast? Well, I don't mind saying, I'll hold up my hand here, guilty. It was an idea I had because we talk this nonsense all the time at race meetings, do we not? So
we do.
As Richie Thorne is a witness to at the Nationals, you and I will talk like this normally. So this is like a normal conversation for us, only recorded. And I went so far as to think that unfortunate people on the radio control racing scene might enjoy listening to it. So I thought, hey, why not get it down and record it? Obviously, there's another podcast out. There was a few, actually, which is all great. I think the more, the better. But if people are into the sort of idiotic humour that I enjoy and you enjoy and the stuff we'll talk about nationals and international events and big club races. I think that'll be, I think they'll enjoy it. So
yeah,
that's why. And so I roped you in, didn't I?
You did. I had no choice in the matter. I was told I was doing it, and that was that.
Yeah. So I'm no pleased. So host, co-host, you see, this is how it works.
Guilty.
And guilty. Also, you're seeing smatterings of our David Brent humour coming in here. So one of the greatest comedy shows I think ever made in recent years is Ricky Gervais's The Office. I have worked in office. I don't work in office anymore, but I have worked with every single one of those characters, from Gareth Keenan to Tim to Dawn, the horrific warehouse staff. So if any of you are aware of what The Office is all about, as you're also a big fan, aren't you, Alexander?
Oh, yes.
You will know what we find funny, and you will find references to The Office and other comedy shows that have made me chuckle, though I'm considerably older than Alexander, so I may well come up with stuff that's a little bit over his head from time to time. That there'll be comedy, and you'll see where we're coming from. So recording this podcast is really just a natural extension of the jokes at national level and at clubs, and that's why we will also in future shows have some of the our other fellow ne'er-do-wells on, won't we? Such as Richie Thorne, the Thornado, associated driver. Mark Simpson will be making appearances when he's available, and others too. So it won't be just me rambling along with my co-host Alexander Hayward, but we'll try and make it entertaining for you all to listen to and not bore you to tears. I think that's the aim, wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Right, so moving on then, swiftly moving on. Where have we been racing recently? Because there's been some really, really good events. Now, I would like to say, and I'd like you to chip in on this one with considerable input. Recent events that off the top of my head that we've been to, or I've been to some, you've been to some, because I know you can't always get away on Saturdays. There was the first Junction 16 Indoor Winter Series meeting a few weeks ago in Daventry. As we've just covered my glorious final win, was the Silverstone Winter Series that lots of you will know was it last weekend?
Yes, last Saturday, I think. Silverstone.
Yes, I think so. Yes,
Fort Telford. Yeah.
Yes, last. And you were at Telford on Sunday, weren't you?
Yes, at Telford on Sunday. The week before, I think I was at Dudley for the Air Indoor Winter Series, which race on Prima Felt carpet, which is a little bit different to the EOS, slightly lower grip and different style of driving on the Prima Felt. And the week before that, I think I was at Midlands Raceway for their first their first round of the Winter Series. Again, which is on EOS, but a slightly smaller indoor track, but very good.
Well, yeah, I mean, you did pretty well at all of those events, didn't you?
Yeah, I think... talking of trophies, Midlands Raceway got a trophy. Sitting proudly on my shelf right now, coming second behind Paul Crompton, I was quite pleased about. Paul drove, as Paul does, just fantastically, and he was the clear winner. But I managed to pull away a bit in the final. I had a good race with, I can't remember the guy's name now, the guy who came third, Daniel Robbins, possibly.
Was it Daniel Robbins?
No, Daniel Robbins is Silverstone, isn't he?
Yes, no, Silverstone. Yeah. Daniel Hopkins.
Oh, sorry, the name. Daniel Hopkins, that's the one.
Yes.
They had a good race with him through the final, but managed to pull away and stay in second place behind Paul, which was good.
Yes.
Dudley, I was seventh, I believe, with a good turnout of 40 drivers, only my second time in Prima Felt, so that was good. And then Telford, I was fifth, throwing away third on the last but one lap with an unforced error. But I was still happy to take fifth again with quite a competitive field. So
yes,
it was good. Yeah, but you've done pretty well in the indoors as well, though.
Ah, yes. Well, just going back to your results, I thought I personally, obviously, I keep up on what you're doing, and I thought you did really well. I thought Dudley had some really interesting competitors there, obviously, because one of my all-time heroes was there, which is obviously Craig Drescher, the man himself. I did find the heat listing amusing, despite you being an F2N, somehow not in the top heat. Love that. That really made sense to me. People who know me will know that I'm a bit of a stickler for sort of like heat listings being done to some modicum of logic, which they don't always seem to be. But what do I know? Putting in a good performance to Telford. I think Jamie and Tommy did really well there. With their cars, and I just think Midlands Raceway. Yeah, it was Daniel Hopkins is, I think, I'm sure I'm getting this right. Daniel is Lewis's dad. I get the names the right way round, and yeah, Daniel's a really nice guy. So yeah, that was good to see that result. Talking about Crompton, he was awesome on Saturday at
Oh,
Silverstone. He
Silverstone. Yes.
was he was pitting just across from me, opposite. I was opposite Big Bear Moen. Crompton's next Martin, and obviously Ed Kerry and Luke Mills, and then Alec was to my left, and the Predmeister General was on my right. And yeah, good old Brian. And we were. I was just watching Crompton in the final. I think he was leading, and then there was a marshalling incident, and
That's what you could call it. Yes, I think a few people may have seen what had actually happened, whether they were there or whether they saw it on YouTube or Facebook video.
But to give him his due, this is the point I'm making, is he came back to win that after that. And he
He had a
just
good lead, and
looked,
he obviously had that error, and he still pulled it back after that. And what I mean, obviously, I only saw it from the video, and you were there, but it just looked just a perfect drive, really, from there to take back the win.
Crompton was superb, I have to say. And credit where it's due, he was terrific. And it was, I like when you watch races, like when you watch, say, like obviously Lee and Neil, and then you see Tom Yardy, Crompton, and some of the others, like Jamie and Tommy have been, Kev. Honestly, it's a joy to watch some of them sometimes, and you see someone performing at that level. It's brilliant. And Paul was fantastic at Silverstone on Saturday, on what I must say was quite a tricky track. I have had some decent results recently, as you mentioned. I mean, going back a couple of weeks, there was the first round of the Junction 16 Indoor Winter Series at Daventry, which was really, really good. Good track layout, challenging. I made the B final there, against good opposition. I mean, Trish was in the B. James Evans, another teammate of ours, was in the B. Laura Hicklin, Richard Gasson, and others. So yeah, that was good. I was running really well in that final, actually. I think I was fifth, but I spooned James Evans over after a jump.
Teammates,
So yeah, teamie,
team.
teamie.
Sorry,
It was just one of those
miss.
unfortunate ones. He had turned, and I came over the jump right behind him. And he just went over onto his roof. So it was the right thing to do to wait. But that let a couple of people through. But it was the right thing to do. So yeah, that was good. At Silverstone, as I said earlier, I was in the D, made some mistakes there though, and that cost me. Normally quite tidy, but the track was quite tricky. It was very fast in places, but there was a few tricky jumps that will cost you if you didn't quite get it right.
It looked hard
And
from the photos that I saw, and the videos especially. Especially going towards, was it the loop on the bottom right hand side by the rostrum?
it was,
So it's like a double jump, like a ski jump, going into like a really tight small lander.
And then you had a corner straight after, did you?
That's right. Yeah, it was almost in front of where I was standing because I was on the far right of the rostrum. But yeah, there was a jump and then you turned left and back on yourself. And there was a jump with a lander that was higher and a left sweeper immediately after it.
Yeah.
So it was really easy to carry. You didn't want to case the jump.
Yeah.
If you carried too little speed, you'd case it. If you carried too much, you risked carrying too much into the turn and going off onto your roof. And then you were going too deep to get straight for the next jump and lander over to where the loop was. So it was really good, but it was tricky. It was same as Junction 16. Junction 16 had a great big rhythm jump section right in front of the rostrum. But if you got it wrong and there were six other cars flying through the air, you know, chest height for your average adult marshal, it was all over because you'd have to wait, you know.
Yeah.
So both great layouts in different ways. Obviously, you know, you were at Telford, and this coming weekend coming up, we're actually going up to MB, aren't we?
Yeah, going up to Leeds. They've now relayed their off-road track, so they've gone away from the touring cars, which they raced during the summer, and they're back to their indoor off-road track. It's run by Batley Boogie Club, but using the MB Models venue, and they in the OS track, quite fast. Quite a small track, but very well laid out, and it's got a full length straight, which is nice, and it has some kind of small technical jumps. Very good. I went a couple of times last year. Really good, I think. Yeah, I really enjoyed it up there. So yeah, we're going there again on Sunday, aren't we?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, it's my first visit actually. So I'm really looking forward to it. We'll see how we get on. Nice club meeting, obviously, you know, the clocks go back, which helps. So it's not a sort of really early start for a change.
No, they don't actually open the doors till 11 o'clock. So yeah, really late start.
Yes. So MB this weekend, was at Silverstone on Tuesday, gone.
How did that one go for you, Pete? Should we talk about Tuesday?
I throw spite in your direction. I cast spite in your teeth. I will talk about it. I was BQ.
Okay, here we go.
I was BQ. I had the BQ hat on.
Oh, mate. I know.
It was really unfortunate that I did a turnbuckle when I was on a really good 18-lap run. Which would have been faster than yours. I have no doubt of that.
Really? Really?
But Abe made A10, which was...
Yeah.
He's made some big steps recently. I quote somebody else who said that. He's made some big steps recently. And it's not the first time he's outqualified me. Just recently. And I was watching him hold his own on Tuesday
at
Silverstone.
I watched him in some of the qualifying, and he just looked, like you say, big steps. He's come on loads. In the last kind of probably 2 months, it's like taking a big step. He's going well this year through the nationals and the regionals and kind of improving all year. But it's these last kind of 2 months or so, he really has taken a big jump from where he was in the summer. And he's going really well now.
Yeah, that's how I felt. And it's like I've noticed that, you know, from him being just that little bit behind me, I knew it was coming. He's now in front. You know, I have no doubts that I'll still pose a significant threat to him, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give it to him easy. I wouldn't want to do that. But he looked terrific on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I mean, at Silverstone, I don't think at the winter series, I really don't think he got what he deserved because the way it all worked out, he did a 14 lap run on that track, on the winter series track. He was the only one on the team in two wheel drive to do that other than Martin Owen.
Yeah.
And when you consider Martin did a 14 in a 311 and a 316 Yeah. And Abe did it in 3:20. He was sixth in round in that third round until the last two races.
Yeah.
And when you consider the last two races, last two heats had the likes of the Halls, Crompton, John O'Skidmore and others in.
Yeah.
I was just looking at the result thinking, wow, you know.
Were many of the top guys making 15 laps, or was it only just a handful of drivers on a few of the rounds making 15?
I have to hold my hand up. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Paul would have done.
Yeah, I saw I saw round one. I think round one, did Tommy TQ round one? Certainly up there. I think there was there's three or four people weren't there on the same second, I think. And that was a fast 14. It was like a 3:01 or a 3:02 from memory. I might be wrong.
I'm sure I think Jamie and Tommy did.
Yeah.
Obviously, Alec and Ed were running the new four-wheel drive, the 401R. They were running that in four-wheel drive. Obviously, I'm pretty sure John Skidmore did two and four, I think, because he looked fast, terrifically fast in both.
Yeah.
So four-wheel drive was good to watch as well. There were 15s on the board from the F1s, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But given that I managed 13 306s and stuff, twice I think I did that. And a 13 312, all with crashes. I'm sure I would have made a 14, but it wasn't to be. And that's how it goes, you know.
Yeah.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda, doesn't matter, does it? But obviously, Abe did terrifically well. And at Junction 16, when I was in the B, he was in the C.
Yeah.
Another good run from him. So yeah, you're right. It's really come on for him. And I must say, look, I do love outdoors, but I'm not getting any younger. And that's why I race indoors in the winter, because, you know, there's nothing I hate more than you can't be bothered to pick up your power driver. You can barely feel your fingers. And like, you know, when you're indoors, it's warm, it's dry, generally, you know, there's no smoke in the air from exploded lipos, Alexander.
Guilty.
All of that, you know, it makes a big difference, you know.
Yeah, so do you think, I mean, we've obviously had Silverstone and Junction 16. So Junction 16 as well, they seem to, over last year, I know they had good turnouts last year, but this year, an even bigger turnout, I think, wasn't there? It was nearly full, was it, the meeting?
Yeah, it was full. 90, yeah.
Yeah, do you think, obviously, with these new kind of winter series now, and like you say, you've got guaranteed warmth, guaranteed track conditions, it's not going to be wet, you're guaranteed to race because... yeah, you've not got any rain to contend with. Do you reckon now the indoors is going to be overtaking the outdoors, or do you reckon it has done for the last couple of years and is only going to get stronger?
This is the controversial one, isn't it?
Mm.
Is winter outdoor racing dead? That's the question. Now,
yeah,
you're right to ask it. My opinion is, I think it is, actually.
Yeah, or certainly, do you think from perhaps not dead from like a club perspective, but maybe from a big event perspective?
Yeah,
I mean, I can recall events from years ago. Like, take for example the Kidderminster Winter Series. They had their own standalone series of four dates. I think they were October, November, February, March, from memory, or November, December, February, March, and you'd get 90 to 100 drivers. Kidderminster's own winter series, and the last couple of events of the winter series, so February, March events, you'd get F1s from all over the country coming down for national practice. And they'd obviously limit the entries, but they'd come down for the first national of the year was usually Kidderminster, and they'd come down for practice, and it would just be a full-on day of all the best drivers in the country racing at a winter series outdoors. Whereas now the MAMs haven't been as well supported this year as maybe last year or the year before. The numbers are dropping off slightly. I know we've only had one event so far. We've got plenty more to come, but I think it's probably starting the trend now. A lot of people are racing on the Saturdays indoors, like Silverstone and Junction 16, which hold great events, and West Bridgeford as well. MB Models have a Sunday event, Neem race further up north. So all over the country, you have these these indoor events with big turnouts and workshop as well, for example.
1066.
And 1066. And you think
Torch.
And Torch as well. And Bury have got one this weekend coming as well, which I think
of course
is full.
There's the new Essex Carpet Clash in December.
Yeah.
In North London. So
I mean, so just off the top of our heads, we've reeled off probably 7 or 8 indoor events, indoor series.
Let alone Worksop.
Yeah. Worksop was what, 150 drivers?
Yeah. I think you're right.
You've got like the Neil Craigson, Lee Martins and Craig Collinson's going to these big events. And yeah, I think the probably the top end racers or the high level racers probably aren't attending the more club events now, like in the winter outside.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think dead's a bit harsh, but I do. There's so much indoor racing now. Okay, so we've mentioned a bunch of clubs there doing indoor racing. Obviously, we know Worksop's on the Cork floor with the new Schumacher honeycomb tire. As far as I'm led to believe from Alec and others who went, the tire worked really well, and it was a success. So that's great. Obviously, you've got EOS Carpet Racing. You were on Primafelt at Dudley, I've also raced on. I tend to go for the higher grip stuff personally, but with the Cactus tire and EOS and other tyres beginning to make an appearance with obviously the Pro Lines and so on that I've tried and I know you have too. There's so much to do indoors now. Do you want to go and freeze in a field and slide around? I just don't think the appeal is so much there anymore. There's so much in the winter. Do you want to sit outside at 1-2 degrees all day long? No. And you can't argue with the numbers. And I've said to you, I think the expression for me is that I just don't think you can put the genie back in the bottle. When something happens like that, you know, it's like, you know, why don't you and I start up a business selling VHS players? You know, it isn't going to happen, is it? I mean, John Lewis pulled DVD players this week, didn't they?
Yeah,
nobody's
they did,
buying
actually,
them
yeah.
anymore. Nobody's buying them anymore. So, you know, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. And look, it might change where people get bored of it, or that, for example, there's so many indoor events that only a certain amount can, if you like, survive due to the cost involved with the numbers. But, you know, I'm sorry to say, give me a warm hall in Daventry for Junction 16 or Silverstone in Moulton any day of the week, rather than, as I have done, standing in a field with my boots sinking into the mud, freezing cold, and my car filthy, that I know I've got to clean two cars when I get home. You know, I just can't be bothered with it anymore.
And you come from the days, Pete, when it was always outdoor racing. You'd probably race on grass in the winter back in the 90s.
Yeah, absolutely. I did race in a hall sometimes on slippy floor.
Oh, really?
But yeah, that was in my early days. Full Schumacher spikes and on slippy floor, a gym hall floor, school hall floor. I used to do that as well. But yeah, it was always outdoors. And I do, outdoors is my favourite. But certainly that's sort of like, you know, from April when the nationals and regionals start again with yourself, that's great. And, you know, when you've got a sunny national, it's terrific. You know, the atmosphere, the feel of it all is brilliant. But I just think that with the amount of indoor racing there is now, I'm not sure I can see a way back for it, really. And the numbers don't lie, you know.
No, I think there will always be some people that want to be outside, that want to do the outdoors. I'm one of them. I think if you asked me last year, I would have said I prefer outdoors than indoors. Always been an outdoor racer. But since Junction 16 opened, I've been going weekly there, and I've been trying to go as much as I can to Silverstone as well.
Yeah.
I'll say I like both equally. I like to race both just as much, really. I like the outdoors. I like the outdoors in the winter. I like racing in the wet. But I like racing on the nice warm inside as well. So,
yeah.
I think there's a place for both of them.
There absolutely is. But I think the pendulum of popularity. Now, there's a catchphrase. The pendulum of popularity has swung, I think, towards indoor racing at the moment. And I can't see that changing for the time being myself. I know you love racing outdoors, actually, in all weathers, which is why I was thinking of amusing game show today that we could have. So this is something you haven't realised was coming. And it was a game show that I formulated in mind. I was going to call it Alex in Wonderland, you see. And what it was going to be was basically... Okay, we've got a survey. It's a Q&A. It's a Q&A for you to fill in. So question one might be, Brian, would you, right, Brian Kinwald's birthday party? Okay, would you either attend or go racing at Telford, racing at Kidderminster, always the same.
Always the same.
Racing at Coventry. Or D, sit in your car room, rebuilding your gear diff. Do you want the options again?
Oh, that's a tough one. Can you read me the options again, please, P?
Yeah. Do you want the options again? Always the same.
Yeah, the options again, please. Yeah.
Always the same. Would you racing at Telford, racing at Kidderminster, racing at Coventry, rebuild your gear diff? Don't know. And that's regarding attending Brian Kilwald's birthday party.
But I'm not in America, so I can't attend Kilwald's party, which would be a shame.
Yeah. If don't know wasn't an option, which one would you pick?
Can I have the options again, please, Pete?
let's leave the Q&A. Some people out there will get that reference. I know Richie Thorne and Mark will. And that's really, I think, outdoors covered, to be honest with you. And another one of my silly ideas for a game show. Those of you out there that know Alexander and myself well know that there's an ongoing meme war between us, which I think Alexander's got the edge, really, because his Photoshop skills are far, far superior to mine.
But they I think don't I just have rank... more time to think them up as well. More time to waste.
Maybe. I'm not entirely sure of the truth of that one, actually, knowing what my life's like. But neither one of us compares to Richie Thorne, I think. And some of the ones he comes up with that people see out there on Facebook. And the Grand Master himself, William Venables, who produced one of the greatest ever memes, which we can't show you, but it was a work of art. I think you'll agree.
It was incredible. It was the best meme anyone would have ever seen. Yeah,
it was incredible. But obviously you guys would have seen...
For the masses.
Sorry, go on.
That was not for the masses, Will Venables.
No, most definitely not. But obviously, you can there's people who will have seen the latest one you did with the 90s evening out for me with a horrific pair of curtains, hooch, double denim, something no man should wear, in my opinion, ever, at any stage of life. and the infamous Shoe Express pork pie shoes with crimp top. A night out in the 90s. And that will be an ongoing source of amusement to us on the show as well, I'm sure.
Richie Thorne actually texted me afterwards and said, I really wish Pete had curtains.
Well, I don't. I've got very, very short hair, actually. It's normally under a cap. I often shave it off. But I'm sure that the listeners aren't really too worried about my latest style choices. Racing next, we've covered, really, haven't we? Obviously.
Yeah, so MB Models on Sunday.
MB, looking very much looking forward to MB. My first visit up there should be good fun. I think the week after that is Junction 16.
The November the 3rd, rings a bell.
Yes, Yes, I'll be at Junction 16, Winter Series with Abe. Sadly, you can't do Saturdays at the moment.
No, Saturday, unfortunately not. But I think on the Sunday, Midlands Raceway have their second round of their indoor Winter Series.
They do.
I'll be at Midlands Raceway for that one with Stuart Harlow of Harlow Knows. People may or may not know that Harlow knows everything.
Yes, Stuart Harlow knows. Harlow knows, hashtag, basically because there isn't much he doesn't know.
Yeah, he knows pretty much everything.
Which is actually going to be a part of an upcoming feature on our shows, the Harlow Knows Facts section, which I think should be quite good.
The shortest section ever would be Things Harlow Doesn't Know, which of course would be very limited subject to talk about.
Yeah, I would probably put one thing on that. You would know what
we can gather what this may be, Pete.
Yeah, it would be how to lay leaving a damn four-wheel drive track at Coventry would be things Stuart Harlow doesn't know how to do, but he does know pretty much everything else. There's Junction 16, as I say. So I'm at Silverstone on Tuesday as well with Abe. Another Silverstone Winter Series coming up. As I say, Essex Carpet Clash doesn't start till December. But I know
is it
that,
the 23rd, is it that one? Yes, 23rd. Just before Christmas.
I know Chris Dells and Richard Thorpe are pushing that one. So great to see that supported. And obviously myself and Abe got in for the MKGP in February of next year, which is very exciting because I didn't get to do it this year. So next year, very much looking forward to that. And a little birdie tells me, exclusive, the Euros next year, it will be a return to Pinerolo.
Getting loco in Pinerolo.
Yes. I own that hashtag, the same as Full Beans in Reams. Because I came up with both of those.
Yeah. Which later developed into Broken Dreams in Reams.
Broken Dreams is No Dreams in Reams. Yeah. Disaster in Reams. And Shambles in Reams, I think, would have been appropriate hashtags. As anybody who heard us with Churchy will know our opinion on what went out there. I can only thank the likes of Martin Owen and everything he did to try and make things happen. Paul Worsley, the things he did to try and make things happen. John Cockhill, up there for a week, refereeing in 40 degrees with no water and stuff. I mean, these guys, you would not believe what they went through to make that event happen. And it really wasn't great, was it, mate?
No, it was, like I said, the efforts of the British guys was awesome, but unfortunately the French officials or the Reims staff weren't really willing to cooperate fully. I think Paul managed to kind of sort it out for the four-wheel drive portion of the event, but for the start of it, certainly the two-wheel drive was a bit tricky to get through, really. So a return potentially to Pinerolo, which I think just the track probably wasn't the most suited for our 10th scale cars. It was an 8th scale track with big jumps and it's a very large track, like deep, wide as well, massive rostrum with a big pit lane in front of it. But they're rumoured to be changing the track to a slightly smaller track for next year if they do hold it. But the venue itself and the way they ran it was fantastic, I thought. I thought it was really, really good.
Yeah, it was really good. And the place was lovely as well. I mean, flying in over the Alps, wasn't it, into Turin?
Yeah,
and everything. And obviously, I mean, I saw you out there. I was staying with Kev, Lee, Alec, Paul Crompton, Briefcase Venables, and things. It was just an absolute blast. Martin Owen as well was there. It was just brilliant. It was a lot of fun that week. So repeating that would be good. That should be good, and I think that really wraps it up for this week. In a future shows we will be having some guests on, but primarily this will be myself and Alexander, but we will have guests from time to time, hopefully roping in the Tornado And as I say, Mark Simpson as well at points. We will be having Will Venables on the show very soon, basically on a feature called Packing the Briefcase, which given that he his nickname is Briefcase Venables, we will be packing the briefcase. And he can tell us all about his trips to the EOS events, which he'll next be attending one in November. So we'll have Will on after that to join in the general madness. And we will no doubt develop our David Brent idiotic jokes and more over the coming weeks. So we hope you've really enjoyed it. Try to make it sort of like lighthearted. And if you like what we're doing, you'll like the other shows we've got to come. So, Alexander, thank you for joining me. And
that's right. Thanks for having me, Pete.
Yes. Well, you've got no choice. I'll be having you again.
Against my will.
And we were, as to how often we'll do the shows, I would think probably every couple of weeks or so. We don't want to drive you insane with our nonsense. At the same time, you want to have good quality content to talk about. So I think every 2-3 weeks or so. So, we hope you like it, share it about, and you know who we are. You can always let us know what you think. And thanks for listening. We'll catch up with you soon. See you at the track.
See you guys.